الله أكبر الله أكبر.
The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A blessed month is approaching us. It is the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glory be to him, in the glorious Quran tells us, O ye who believe, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, fasting is prescribed for you, as it was prescribed for those before you, that ye may have piety. The Quran 2:183. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us to fast the month of Ramadan. To achieve what? To attain piety. Piety. God righteousness. This is what we find in the Quran. It says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum al-siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqoon. And the purpose is that we have this taqwa, piety. Rasul, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told us that fasting is a shield or protection from the fire and from committing sins, as is reported in Bukhari. So this has hadith from Al-Bukhari. Fasting is a shield or protection from the fire. So I'm asking you, my dear brother and my dear sister, don't you like to have a protection, a shield from the hellfire? Don't you want to go to paradise? Don't you like to go to heaven? So this is the way. Through keeping the commandments of God, through following his commandments. The Prophet ﷺ also said, a person who fasts Ramadan faithfully and sincerely, his previous sins will be forgiven. What a beautiful thing in Islam that we have. It's a great thing that all your previous sins will be forgiven if you fast the month of Ramadan faithfully and sincerely. Great news. And these are some of the hadiths. There are many, many ayahs, many verses, and many hadiths or sayings by the Prophet talking about Ramadan or Siyam in general. We can gain many benefits during the month of Ramadan. We can have several benefits, like first, spiritual benefits, second, moral benefits, third, educational benefits, fourth, emotional benefits, fifth, healthy benefits. These are some of the benefits that we can gain from the month or from fasting the month of Ramadan. Let me go to the first aspect, the first category of benefits, that is spiritual benefits. Some of the benefits that we can gain spiritually to attain God consciousness. God consciousness. Or to be more accurate, to attain taqwa. As the Quran told us, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that you may attain piety or God consciousness. And this is a great thing that we have to do our best to seek and to attain, to have this high level of iman, taqwa, to be among those who have taqwa in their heart. Fasting is a way to achieve taqwa. Through fasting also we can gain God's forgiveness. As the Prophet told us that fasting, if we fast or through fasting, we can get our sins forgiven. All sins. Allah is all forgiving, all merciful. So if we go back to Him, if we do what He wants us to do, if we follow His commandments, praying to Him, fasting, giving charity, following His orders or His commandments, Allah will forgive us. And again, as the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us, that through fasting, or if a person fasts Ramadan faithfully and sincerely, his previous sins will be forgiven. Don't you like to have that? Don't you like to have your sins forgiven all? We can do this through fasting the month of Ramadan sincerely and faithfully. Spiritually also, it develops sincerity. It develops sincerity because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to fast for Him sincerely and faithfully, as the Prophet told us. When we fast, nobody knows about our fasting. Nobody knows. Nobody knows that I am eating or drinking. If they do not see you, you know, nobody knows. They think that you are fasting, but maybe in a private place you eat and you drink. Nobody knows about you. But you know that Allah, the true God, is watching you. He is the all-seeing. He is the all-knowing. He is the all-hearing. He knows everything. So we fast not to show off. Not to, you know, tell people, look at me. See, I am fasting. Oh, I am tired because I am fasting. No. We have to keep this secret. We should not tell others about it. Even if you fast, you know, what's called siyam tatawwa, voluntarily fasting, optional fasting. Some of us might fast optionally, just like on Mondays or on Thursdays, and they go to others and say, Alhamdulillah, I am fasting today, just to show off. To show off. To tell others, I am a good person. I am a righteous person. Brother and sister, let's do this sincerely for Him, for God alone. not to show off. And fasting teaches us to be sincere. Because as I said before, if nobody saw you eating or drinking, they can't tell about you, whether you are fasting or not fasting. Spiritually, fasting protects us from hellfire. As the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us that fasting is a shield or protection from the fire and from committing sins. This is another beautiful thing. Aren't you concerned about this? To have a protection from the fire? Fasting will help you to achieve that if we are sincere and honest and faithful in our fasting. Inshallah, God willing, I will continue talking about the other benefits in the second episode next week, inshallah. Time is over. I'll stop here. Thanking you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahu Akbar, Allah.
The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, O ye who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that ye may have piety. The Quran 2:183. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us to fast and tells us that this is prescribed upon you or for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that we may have taqwa or piety. We are approaching, my dear brothers and sisters, we are approaching a great month, a month of, you know, multiplying rewards. It is the month of Ramadan. It is the month of mercy, forgiveness, and releasing from the hellfire. It is a great month for Muslims. It is a month of dedication to serve God, to worship Allah, to pray to Him, and to fast, to give charity, to give zakat, to do good deeds, to read the Quran. It is the month of righteousness and doing good deeds. The Prophet ﷺ told us that fasting is a shield or protection from the fire and from committing sins. Also, the Prophet told us that a person who fasts Ramadan faithfully and sincerely, his previous sins will be forgiven. Through fasting the month of Ramadan, we can gain many benefits. So Muslims are required to fast the month of Ramadan by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an article in Islam, a pillar in Islam. This is one of the five pillars in Islam. The testimony, the shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. To perform prayer and to fast, to give zakat, to fast the month of Ramadan, to go to Mecca to do Hajj, to perform Hajj. These are the five pillars of Islam. Number one, the testimony, to bear witness that there is no God except Allah, the true one, and that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the prophet, the messenger of Allah, to perform salah, to give zakat or almsgiving, to fast Ramadan, to perform Hajj. So a Muslim is not a Muslim if he is not or she is not doing these five things. Through fasting, we gain many benefits. First, we try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through fasting, we please Him. Spiritually, we have benefits, moral benefits, educational benefits, emotional benefits, health or healthy benefits. In the last episode, I talked about some of the spiritual benefits. I talked about to attain God consciousness, to gain God's forgiveness. It develops sincerity. It protects us from hellfire, as the Prophet told us. It leads us to paradise. Let's go to the Prophet and what he said. The Prophet ﷺ told us, fasting is a shield from the fire and from committing sins. Also he said, Muhammad ﷺ said, a person who fasts Ramadan faithfully and sincerely, his previous sins will be forgiven. Don't you like to be forgiven? Don't you like to have your sins forgiven? So this is the way. This is the invitation of the Prophet and Islam in general. Now let me go to the moral benefits that we can gain in Ramadan or fasting the month of Ramadan. It teaches us that talking and behaving should be nice. Our talking and behaving should be in a nice way. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever does not give up forged speech and evil actions, Allah is not in need of his fasting. So we are not to speak ill speech. When we fast, some might feel, oh, I am tired. They feel, not comfortable. They have frowning faces. This is not the right thing. On the contrary, we must be more happy. We must be happy because we are praising God, smiling, not frowning in the faces of others. Some might show off. They feel tired, or they look like tired, and just to tell people, look, I am fasting. I am fasting to show off. This is not good. This is reducing the rate of ajr. The Prophet ﷺ told us, whoever does not give up forced speech and evil actions, Allah is not in need of his fasting. In addition to that, the Prophet ﷺ said, fasting is not abstaining from eating and drinking only, but also from vain speech and fool language. If one of you is being cursed, listen to this beautiful guidance from the Prophet, this beautiful teaching from the Prophet, peace be upon him. If one of you is being cursed or annoyed, he should say, I am fasting, I am fasting. Inni sa'im, inni sa'im. Look at this beautiful teaching in Islam. How it teaches us to be nice, not to speak ill speech or full language. The Prophet again, beautiful saying, he said, fasting is not abstaining from eating and drinking only, as some people think that fasting is only abstaining from eating and drinking, but they curse, they insult others, they attack or they harass others. This is not Islamic. The Prophet ﷺ said, fasting is not abstaining from eating and drinking only, but also from vain speech and foul language. If one of you is being cursed or annoyed, he should say, I am fasting. I am fasting. Not to react or not to respond to those who do good or to do something not good to them. So be patient. Let's be patient. Let's go now to number 3. Educational benefits. Fasting teaches us to bear hunger and thirst. It teaches us to self-control ourselves. It teaches us patience. It teaches us that change is possible for those who, for example, smoke all the time, all the day. They can abstain from smoking. You know, we fast from dawn to sunset. They abstain for about 12 or more hours. So change is possible, my dear brothers and sisters. You can make the change. Decide. Have a strong will. And go do it. Go and do it. 4. Emotional benefits. Feeling and experience about others. We experience through fasting what the poor go through. This leads us to caring and sharing. We care and we share with others, giving them help, giving them food, giving them money as charity or zakat. 5. Time is not enough. Let me go and finish this part. Healthy benefits. Nutritionists or those who are working on nutrition speak about fasting as burning of rubbish. They call it also, this is a curative therapy. This is what the Prophet told us to fast. Quran told us to fast. This is curative therapy. It gets rid of toxins and fats. It cures the body, cleans up the body. So this is another healthy benefit. There are other benefits, but time is not enough. I will stop here, thanking you for listening to me and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us fast the month of Ramadan according to His will and according to the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahu Akbar, Allahu
Akbar. The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.
Directed by Mansoor Al-Gaw. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashraf al-anbiya'i wal-mursaleen. Sayyidina wa habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are still in the journey of morals and ethics in Islam. In the last episodes, Brother Yusuf and I discussed the relationship between worship and morals. In this episode, God willing, we will shed some light on the virtues of morals in Islam. Let's discover more about Islam and morals. Does Islam encourage us to be violent or moral? To be nice or not nice with others? Let's discover more about it. So, Brother Yusuf, Jazakallah Khair, could you please elaborate on this point about, you know, the virtues of morals in Islam?
Dr. Naji, my pleasure. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Praise, all praise due to Allah. And may the blessings, peace, and prayer be upon Prophet Muhammad, the last messenger and prophet of Allah to the worlds. Ameen. Let me start by, to answer your question, is to mention a few hadiths, few of the sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen to this hadith that is mentioned in the book of Abu Dawood. Hadith number 4799 in Abu Dawood. Prophet, peace be upon him, said, مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَثْقَلُ فِي مِيزَانِ الْعَبْدِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ. There is nothing that is heavier in the scale, that is, you know, the scale of حَسَنَاتَ and سَيِّئَاتِ, because our deeds will be weighed in the scale of the deeds of the son of Adam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, there's actually a scale that will weigh our deeds, negative and positive, credit and sins, and so on. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, nothing is heavier in the scales of the slave of Allah, that is the human, on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of judgment, than excellent moral character. That is heavier in the sense that in the good side, in the positive side. We shouldn't pass by this hadith just like it's just something we hear and we you know, just by, you know, send by our ears and not pay attention. We should ask ourselves. The question is, what happens to our prayers? What happens to fasting on a day that is very hot? What happens to sponsoring of the orphan? What happens to taking care of the widow? What happens to caring for the parents? All these actions of worship, what happens to it if our moral conduct is still bad, is still unacceptable? Or even if those actions are acceptable, the deeds are acceptable, what happens to them in comparison with being elevated in moral excellence? The moral excellence is heavier than the prayer, heavier than fasting, heavier than zakah, heavier than charity. The moral excellence, according to this hadith, is the most important. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ, peace be upon him, said, I was sent to complement and implement and perfect the ethics and moral character. So if we understand this hadith, we will hasten and go forward in improving our moral character, in dealings with others, in feeling humble towards others, in caring for others, and so on and so forth. Listen to this other hadith, what the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, the most complete of the believers in their iman, in their faith, is the one that is most complete or most perfect in their moral character. This is the this hadith is also in Abu Dawud, the book of Abu Dawud, hadith number 4682. Also in Imam Ahmad, book 250, the section 250, hadith number 2. The Prophet ﷺ also said, وَإِنَّ أَحْسَنَ النَّاسِ إِسْلَامًا أَحْسَنَهُمْ خُلُقًا. The best people in Islam, in their Islam, is the best in the moral character. So somebody who's excellent in prayers and fasting and so on, if his or her moral character lacks something, this means their Islam is not up to the standard of someone else. And this is exemplified in the hadith. There was a hadith, I recall, I don't remember the exact reference, where the Prophet ﷺ was told by people that there is a woman who prays a lot, who gives a lot of charity. She fasts even not only Ramadan, but also other Ramadan, but she hurts her neighbors. The Prophet ﷺ said, she's in the hellfire.
I see.
Without knowing who she is, he's just giving the statement that it doesn't matter if you pray a lot, if you give a lot of charities, if you fast, if your moral character is terrible with your neighbors. In fact, there's another hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min." قالوا من يا رسول الله قال من لا يأمن جاره بوائقه. He does not believe. He does not believe. He does not believe. They said, "Who is it, O Messenger of Allah, who doesn't believe?" He said, "Whosoever's neighbor is not safe from his evil treatment." So another woman was told to the Prophet ﷺ, peace be upon him, that she doesn't pray a lot, she doesn't give a lot of charities, but she's kind to her neighbors. The Prophet ﷺ, peace be upon him, said, she's in the Jannah, she's in the heavens, she's in the paradise. Why? Didn't even know who she is? Because he's teaching us that moral character is much more important. Because moral character is on top of the pillars. Of course, Islam without pillars will not stand. So we have to do the prayers correctly, sincerely. We have to do the fasting correctly.
It's like the prerequisites for, you know, to be a Muslim.
Exactly.
And let me comment on this, you know, phenomenon that we witness sometimes, that some who look to be religious have, you know, you can tell that they are worshipping Allah, they pray, as you mentioned, brother, but they are bad in treating others, frowning the faces of others, treating them in a harsh way, in a rude way.
Yes.
And some might come to the conclusion, look at these Muslims, look at these people claiming to be religious.
Thanks for mentioning that, because basically, if I think I grabbed your point. Your point is to explain to the people that Islam is not the people. First of all, I can make two points. Islam is not the people, it's Islam itself. If people do not implement or apply Islam in their life well, that doesn't mean Islam is wrong. Secondly, it's an advice for those who are embracing Islam and who are, and I think that's a stronger point as well, who are praying and so on, but they are neglecting the moral issue. They shouldn't neglect it, because not only their worship is in danger of not being accepted by Allah, but also they are giving the wrong impression, the wrong idea, the wrong preaching message to the people, because people who are not Muslims, or even people who are Muslims who are far away from Islam, will say to themselves, look, a practicing Muslim, and he's not a good example for me as far as moral character. I'm better than him. At least I don't frown, you know, this and that. Don't give an excuse. I'm saying to those Muslims, don't give an excuse to non-Muslims or to poor Muslims practicing, I guess, to repel from Islam. And you, the person, might be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why ethics is so important.
So I'd like to stress this point, or this understanding of the true Islam, that as we mentioned before, that worship and morals go hand in hand.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
No separation.
Absolutely no separation.
So this is what I'd like to stress here, that don't misunderstand Islam.
Yes.
Even by some Muslims.
Yes.
Don't think that I am a good Muslim because I pray, I fast, I go to Mecca, I Hajj and Umrah.
That's a trap.
I'm perfect.
That's a trap by Shaitan, by Satan. Yes, absolutely. That's a big trap. Mm-hmm. And if somebody just perfects his prayers, look, that's a relationship between the person and Allah. But the relationship between the person and the humans is as important. Mm-hmm. In fact, if somebody hurt someone else, took their rights, did injustice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive that somebody if the person himself did not forgive him.
I see.
In fact, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even take the right of the person who received injustice from him. Mm-hmm. In other words, the person who did the injustice cannot say, oh Allah, forgive me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, in essence, Allah will forgive. I forgive, but the person has to forgive you. Mm-hmm. It's very critical, especially debts, especially money. The rights and people of money.
Their rights.
Absolutely.
And, by the way, some workers or some employees, they complain about their sponsors, that they don't give them their salaries.
Yeah.
They treat them badly.
Right.
And they say, look at these Muslims.
Yes.
They don't give us salaries for a couple of months. I met some workers in workshops coming from overseas. See, you claim that Islam is beautiful. Look at this.
Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Give the worker his salary before his sweat dries,
mm-hmm.
before his perspiration dry out."
Mm-hmm.
That's to answer that.
Good.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any other aspect that you would like?
I'd like to say that another thing is, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the thing that admits people to the paradise more than anything else, piety and good moral character.
Beautiful.
And also, another thing is, the Prophet ﷺ said, the most beloved to Allah are those of the most perfect moral character.
Great. So this is the true image. This is the essence of our true religion, Islam.
Yes.
Hoping that, you know,
elevated character.
Those who lack knowledge, as you mentioned before, that a good percentage of non-Muslims lack authentic information
about Islam,
correct information about Islam.
Right.
So now we are trying now in this program to share
inshallah
some good authentic information about the true Islam.
Actually unveil Islam, show Islam in its correct way.
Mm.
You know, some people write against Islam because, you know, they have an agenda maybe or something, but we are trying to shed the true light on Islam, the greatness of Islam.
Good. We will continue, inshallah, to talk more about this beauty, morals, ethics.
More specifics about certain ethics, humbleness, modesty.
There are many, many, many things that, inshallah, we can cover in this program. But time, as usual, limits us, and we got to stop here. Let me mention again my email. My email is abctruth@hotmail.com, or you can call at 0505913113. If you'd like to send a letter, you can send it to P.O. Box 418 Hufuf Ahsa 31982. Again, P.O. Box 418 Hufuf Ahsa 31982. At the end, I would like to thank Brother Yusuf and thank you for listening to this program. May Allah reward you. May Allah bless you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj. Presents
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.
Directed by Mansoor Al-Gaw. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashraf al-anbiya wal-mursaleen. Sayyidina wa habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In previous episodes, my dear guest Brother Yusuf and I talked about morals in Islam, its importance and its virtues. Now we come to a very important aspect, that is, how can we develop morals? How can we train ourselves to treat others in good conduct? So let's discover more about this practical method or practical way of developing morals. Brother Yusuf, welcome back to this program.
Thank you, Dr. Naji. I'm very happy to be here.
JazakAllah khair. Brother Yusuf, dealing with this question at hand, how can we develop ethical, way or moral ethics with others?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. All praise due to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His forgiveness, guidance, and help. May the blessings and peace of Allah be upon Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the final and messenger and prophet of Allah, of God the Almighty, to the whole world. The question is of the essence, just like all the other questions we addressed earlier, in earlier episodes. The question is, how can we emulate or develop excellent ethical moral character? First of all, everything we talked about so far, the tie or the link between moral ethics and Islam is so strong that without moral ethics and excellence in moral ethics, one stands a good chance in losing, a position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regards to the next life and the akhirah and the elevated status of the paradise and so on. Suffice it to know, or suffice it to say, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith, the most beloved to Allah, the most beloved of the creation of His servants, that is the people, to Him, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the most perfect in their moral character. In fact, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said in another hadith, also in the book of Ahmad, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِأَحَبِّكُمْ إِلَيْهِ. Shall I tell you who among you is most beloved to me? And imagine now, this is the messenger of God talking to you, and you're sitting next to him, and he's saying to you and addressing you and a bunch of other people around him, like say 50 people, 100 people, shall I tell you who among you is the most beloved to me? The first thing that would come to your mind is, I wish it's me. And then you would know, you would immediately want to know, what would bring me closer to to the Prophet, peace be upon him's love, be more beloved to him. By the way, it's even good now, even after the passing of Prophet Muhammad, sure, peace be upon him, still we can apply it and we will be most beloved to him if we emulate that, if we fulfill the condition. Because he's talking mainly in the hereafter, mm-hmm, and the time of the day of judgment, the intercession, the you know, all that. So the Prophet ﷺ answered, when he heard the question from the companions, yes, O Messenger of Allah, who is the one who is most beloved to you? He said, أحسنكم خلقا, mm-hmm, the most perfect among you in moral, ethical character.
Mashallah.
Now, these words are in themselves a very strong motive for us to start asking, how can we have excellent moral character? As you know, Dr. Naji, and as our dear listeners know, the first step in changing is to be convinced of the necessity of change.
Mm-hmm.
And the first step in doing that is to understanding the need for change. So now we know that we all want to gain the love of Allah, of our Creator. We all want to gain the love of His Messenger, final Messenger of Allah, to be close to Him.
The day of judgment.
Now this means, exactly, now this means that all we need to do now is how. The word is how.
Good.
Prophet,
according to this hadith,
yes,
so those who would like to be close to the Prophet, not just,
yes,
claiming,
right,
but in reality,
right,
if we would like to be close,
yes,
near to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. Yes.
So it's not a matter of race, nationality, position,
exactly,
tribe, nation, or you name it.
As a matter of fact,
the criteria is,
exactly,
what?
The criteria is piety, moral character.
MashaAllah.
If the person doesn't have elevated piety and moral character, mm-hmm, the person's race, color, position, status, national origin, mm-hmm, have nothing, no bearing whatsoever on his or her position in the next life. It's all about moral character, as exemplified in the ayah we mentioned in the past. You know, the most honorable among you is the one who's most pious. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, I mentioned in a previous hadith, that the one who has more taqwa, more piety, and most perfect in moral character is the one who's the most people who will enter the paradise.
Beautiful.
Now, the next question is, we have the motive, we know the importance of moral character, and we want to have elevated moral character. How can we do it? I remind you of the hadith, myself and the listeners, that the Prophet ﷺ taught us that before, if in order to get something or be something, well, first of all, in order to do something, you have to be it.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do it, you have to have the goals and the actions and so on. The Prophet ﷺ told us that we need to seek that from Allah. You have to ask Allah, give me the excellent moral character. Because there's nothing that we can do of our own ability, of our own doing. Everything comes from our Creator. Even our will, our goodness, comes as a blessing from His goodness. So what we need to do is, now, since we have the direction, we want to have elevated moral character, we want to have excellent ethics, now that want will translate or expressed in asking Allah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet Muhammad peace be upon him, used to say as a dua, Allahumma hadini, O Allah guide me, O my Lord guide me, li ahsani al-akhlaq, to the best of the moral character. La yahdi li ahsaniha illa ant, for no one guides to the best of the moral character except you. So the first step is to ask Allah. The second step, to remember that if we want to do something, we have to start, take the first step. As they say, the Chinese proverb, the journey of a thousand miles begins with one step. So that's the first step, is asking Allah. Secondly, to practice. Next time, I suggest to my dear listeners and to myself, as a reminder, that next time we are in a situation that where we are tested, mm-hmm, with a weak person in front of us, our child, our wife, our subordinate, somebody who bothered us in the way they drove in front of us, to practice that, to restrain from the otherwise normal way of behavior that we have, shouting, screaming, bad-mouthing, having evil thought or feeling against the person, to say, Alhamdulillah, or Subhanallah, and restrain. practice this. Practice if you feel, if you are at a juncture of paying charity, of giving somebody a charity, mm-hmm. and usually you say, no, I don't think they need it. No, I think they're calling us. No, I think, in fact, practice, say, no, this time I'm going to give. So you practice the charity. Smiling in your brother's face, sister's face for the sisters. If you are used to having this heavy weight as if there's two wires hanging from the, both sides of your lips, you know, with heavy weight that you cannot smile, mm-hmm. remove that weight, I suggest to the listeners, and next time you pass by somebody, surprise them with a nice smile. Give them a surprise. Give them a shock. A good shock. And this will not only shock them pleasantly, it will help you train yourself. What can I say? So many things. The beginning
speak
of it...
Nicely. To speak nicely. Train ourselves to speak a nice way instead of just...
Exactly.
Come here.
Please, exactly.
Please.
Yes.
Come here.
Yes.
So let's change even the, you know, the, the way we say it to others.
My own practical experience here. Any store I go to, mm-hmm. any business I go to, any place I go to, the first thing, if they did me something wrong, I smile. And secondly, I talk with humbleness, and suddenly everybody I deal with, they smile back, and they respond, and they help me. It doesn't hurt to give tips as well. Somebody who's a worker, to give them one or two or three, yeah, because you'll gain their heart. They're not going to care about this little tip.
You tend it as a sadaqah.
Exactly.
To give as a sadaqah, charity, to win his heart.
Exactly.
For inshallah, for something.
And most of them, Dr. Maji, will not care about the 2 riyal or 3 riyal, like at the gas station or at a restaurant. They're not going to care about it. Don't give 2 riyal at a restaurant. You have to give 15 or some more percent. Gotta give, you know, more than that. But I'm saying, when you give something like this, they're not going to look at the money. That's going to make them, it's not going to make them or break them. But they're going to look at you as somebody who really are genuine and you care about them, that you thought about the 2 riyal for them. And they're going to remember you next time, and they're going to smile on your face, and they're going to do your business better. So even being morally elevated, mm-hmm. ethical, by letting people feel that you care for them and love them, brings you back dividends, brings you back goodness and kindness. And in fact, you feel that everybody's cooperating to help you. So moral character, ethical moral character, pays you back immediately. Smiling, being kind, respecting people, not cheating, giving their rights back.
Spreading, being, you know, peace, as the Prophet mentioned. Afshu salam.
Afshu salam.
And this is another thing that we lack in some societies. They go in, they go out without even saying assalamu alaikum.
Just think about that. When you tell somebody, may the peace be upon you, what does that do to the soul? Mm-hmm. You know, to the nerves and the soul and the emotions. The person will say, wow, somebody is actually greeting me, saying the peace be upon me. You, people start feeling peace. People, the society, the Prophet said it, shall I lead you to something that if you do, shall you do it? You will love one another? Wow. They said, what, O Messenger of Allah? He said, Afshu salam baynakum, spread the peace among you. Not only say assalamu alaykum, but also practically live the peace. But believe me, it's so wise that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's inspired by Allah. Just to say assalamu alaykum, and you hear assalamu alaykum, may the peace be upon you, may the peace be upon you, and upon you may the peace be, and upon you may the peace be. What that does to our souls, it will elevate us. It will make us feel peaceful and loving. So the answer is, in a nutshell, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you to that. Secondly, practice and do something every day to the point that you have to surprise yourself. And the inner talk, the self-talk that you always have to have between you and yourself is that I am morally elevated. I am ethical. And you keep saying that to yourself day and night, especially when you first wake up in the morning. When you first wake up in the morning, the subconscious, from my readings, is very ready to take on changes, to write, if you will, scripts over the old scripts. Mm. So when you say, Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah that He gave us life after He took our souls during our sleep, oh Allah, make me ethical, I am ethical, I am ethical. My day will be all full of ethics. This will do wonders.
I love the Prophet. I love people.
All those. And of course,
it sends a positive message, you know.
If you do it for 21 days, this the scientists had concluded, if you do this for 21 days, you will transform yourself to whatever you want. And you can apply this for fears. If you are afraid of public speaking, you can do this as an example. I want to interject this because it's very important. You can say, I speak well. I'm not afraid of I speak with confidence. 21 days and you'll achieve it.
Sure.
So ethics is more important to say and do to yourself
sure.
in order to attain it.
Actually, Brother Yusuf, you know, the treasure or the beauty of talking about Morals of Islam is limitless. Time is a limit.
I regret that time is limited.
You know, they gave me the rasal.
I understand, yes.
To stop here. Inshallah, God willing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us time and, life to share
Inshallah.
About this in upcoming episodes.
Inshallah.
I would like to thank you and thank our dear listeners for their time. Let me remind our dear listeners about my address, and they can contact me at P.O. Box 418 Hufuf Ahsa 31982. If you may like, you can call me at 0505913113, or you can send a letter to the box that I mentioned, 418. Thanks again. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.
Directed by Mansoor Al-Gaw.